tonight? Are you really hungry for the word? Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're here on a Wednesday, you're hungry. Be the same. They're going to bring about the change. I've released my word into the earth. It is my word that you receive the new birth. It is by my word that you overcome every enemy. It is by my word that you are indeed made free. So take heed. Listen for my word and do it without hesitation, without delay. Do everything that I say. Thank you. Whom then will you, Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Have you not known? Listen to that phrase. See, if you want to get the strength that God promises, there's some things that you're going to have to know. Because in knowing these things, your strength is going to be increased. Okay? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God... Oh, there's another characteristic about God. He's what? Everlasting. Yeah, there's a battery that's ever ready, but God is everlasting. Amen? Did you know that there's no expiration date on the Bible? You know, I discovered that a Nimitz aircraft carrier can run without refueling for 50 years because it's nuclear powered. But there's no expiration date on God. You're never going to find the Bible in the dent aisle of the grocery store. The Word of God never spoils. Okay? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He faints not. Woo! He doesn't faint. Neither is weary. He never gets weary. He never sleeps. And there is no searching of his understanding. Okay? So, in order to gain strength, we got to know that God is the creator. We got to know that God is self-existent. We got to know that God is omnipresent. We got to know that God never changes. We got to know that God is all-powerful. We got to know that He knows everything. And we got to know that God is sovereign. Now, I'm not going to get to all those tonight. All right? But in knowing these things about God, it will boost your confidence. It will strengthen you. And that strength that you get, it will sustain you no matter what you face. You really do gain strength from knowing God. Okay? God put on my heart some examples. How many know the story of Noah? All right? God told Noah to build an ark. And he began to build according to the dimensions the Lord gave him. Where did his strength come from to start and finish that project? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us. But while Noah was building the boat, they didn't have to have a prayer meeting to ask God for strength. Maybe they asked him while they were working. You understand, it took 100 years to build the ark. You read it. It was 500 when God said, I'm going to make it rain. It was 600 when it rained. 500 to 600, that's 100 years, right? Even a non-mathematician knows that. So what caused Noah to get up every morning and continue to hammer on that boat, to continue to put the gopher wood in place, to continue to get the supplies that he needed? All right? Go to Genesis 6 with me. This is really good. Genesis 6. Whew. Nothing like a little expository preaching on a Wednesday night. Genesis chapter 6. This is powerful. Look at verse 13. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me." Does that tell you some things about God? If God were to tell you, "The end of all flesh comes before me," that means He knows what's happening on the earth. He knows everything that's happening. He's not missing a beat, right? Okay? And "For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, that's another thing we know about God. He can destroy the earth. All right? It's showing of His power. Okay? Verse 14, He says, "Make an ark of gopher wood." You know why they called it gopher wood? Because He had to go for this and go for that. No, I'm just... That just came to me. Noah was a gopher. Go for this, go for... All right. "Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, 450 feet long." That's a football field and a half. All right? The breadth is 50 cubits, that's 75 feet, and the height is 30 cubits, that's 45 feet. All right? You put a window in there, put a door on the ark, and have three levels on it. Now, verse 17, "And behold, I do bring floodwaters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you I will establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind." Okay, and verse 21, "And you shall take unto you of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to you, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now, where did he get the strength to do that? He got that strength from God. He knew some things about God. He knew who was talking to him. He knew what God was capable of. And when God spoke to him, when the word was released to Noah, Noah had strength to do the task. When he said, "I want you to build an ark," God infused Noah with the strength for the task. And Noah, he went to build it. He gathered the wood. He gathered the supplies. And him and his family, they went to building day after day, week after week, year after year. God sustained their strength until the project was done. They had enough strength to build. They had enough strength to gather. They had enough strength to withstand the storm because of what he knew about God. Can you gain strength from knowing some things about God? I mean, that's a beautiful picture Noah did, according to all that God said. He built the ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. He pitched it in, he pitched it out. He was a pitcher and a gopher. What if Noah would have tried to do a shortcut for what God said? "Oh, this boat doesn't really need... I'm tired of putting all this pitch on here." Well, that pitch was really important when it came time to float. That pitch made it waterproof. My point is this. Noah had strength to do what God said, even if it took 100 years. His strength was there to build, to lift, to gather, to pound, to measure, to cut, to put in place. Noah had strength. because of what he knew about God. Amen? Let's think about Moses. Did Moses know some things about God? He certainly did. God said, Moses, I'm paraphrasing, I'm taking you out of Egypt, and I'm going to show you how to lead. You're going to lead sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And then when you're done leading sheep, then I'm going to send you to Egypt, and you're going to let my people go. So God appears to Moses, and he said, I want you to go into Egypt. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In Exodus chapter 7 through chapter 12, we know that Moses appeared before Pharaoh several times. Now get this. He appeared before Pharaoh several times without fear of arrest. Oh, without fear of imprisonment. And without fear of being captured. All right? He performed 10 plagues to break the bondage of Egypt and set Israel free. What gave Moses the strength to go before the world's most powerful leader in Egypt named Pharaoh? He could appear before Pharaoh and he could say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And he was fearless. That man had some strength. He had some supernatural strength. 40 years of waiting on God in the desert, his strength was renewed. Do you realize when Egypt, he was 80? Because then they spent another 40 years in the wilderness, and he was 120 when he died. But there was a strength that was operating in Moses' life to perform plagues, to appear before leaders, to do what God sent him to do. Do you realize no one interfered with Moses' assignment? People tried. I mean, at first, you know, he was a little concerned at what the elders were going to say. But he passed that test. He stood before Pharaoh. He passed that test. And everything that Moses said was going to happen, happened. He had strength every day during that time. However long it took, as many times as he needed to appear before Pharaoh, he had the strength to do it. Why? There was a strength working in him because he knew some things about God. He was confident in what he knew about God. How about you? Do you know some things about God? How confident are you in what you know about God? How confident do you know that he's your healer? He's my healer. Or he's my healer. Huh? He's my provider. He's my provider. He's my guide. He's my guide. See the difference? One exudes confidence. The other one, you're saying it softly because you're not so sure about it. Go with me to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Here's an incredible testimony. How long will God's strength be with you? For a day? For a moment? For a week? Or for throughout your life? Huh? Which is it? How many think that God's strength can last throughout your lifetime? Okay, some people aren't too sure. Okay? I'm going to give you a testimony of someone who testified to God's strength being with them for a lifetime. Okay? All right, in Joshua chapter 14. Let's go down to verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. That's where they went to go spy out the land. Okay? I want you to notice something. Caleb is bringing something that God said years ago. How many know if God said it 10 years ago, it's still good today? Why? Because he's eternal. His word never changes. He knows everything. Do you realize it took 750 years from the prophet saying that Jesus, that a virgin was going to give birth to a baby in Bethlehem? 750 years later, it happened just exactly as it was said 750 years ago. That's powerful. Okay? So Caleb is reminding what was spoken to him by God through Moses. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. We know that he brought a good report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I'm telling you, God's strength worked in Caleb where he was not infected with the negativity all around him. I mean, you got to understand. The people around Caleb were complaining every day. God would do a miracle one day, and they would complain the next day. God would do something mighty this day, and the next day they were complaining about it. Even in the midst of people complaining, he wholly followed the Lord. That's powerful. Listen, you could be around bad people, but that their badness doesn't have to get into you. You could be around a bunch of doubters, but their doubt doesn't have to get into you. You could be around a bunch of people that never want to do anything, but that doesn't have to get into you. All right? Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. How many know that when you wholly follow God, he'll reward you? Make up your mind today that you're going to wholly follow the Lord. Not partially. Not when you feel like it. No, wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Okay? Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Who kept him alive? God's strength was working in Caleb to keep him alive. How did he keep him alive? He kept him from being negative. He kept him from doubting. And he said, these 45 years, how long? 45 years. God's strength never faltered. God's strength never failed. It kept working in Caleb. It kept sustaining Caleb. It kept holding Caleb up. These 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, he was holding on to this word for 45 years. Some of us would have said, some of us would have quit at 5. Why is God taking so long? That's your problem. You're wondering what you don't have instead of praising God. You got to have faith in God's strength. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. So this is 40 years now. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. His strength did not diminish. His strength had nothing to do with his age. It had everything to do with his faith. Yeah, your outward man may be perishing, but on the inside, there's a new man being renewed every day. As my strength was then, even so it is my strength now. Is that not powerful? was not going around saying, man, when you get to 85, you better watch. These things are going to... He wasn't saying that. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Here's what the New Living Translation says. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. You didn't want to mess with Caleb. He'll whoop you. 85 years old. Come on, bring it on. This is him testifying to the strength of God. He already said that God kept him alive. He's already glorified God. Now, therefore, verse 12, give me this mountain. Caleb didn't even ask for a plane. He asked for a mountain. They didn't have elevators and escalators. How are you going to get up that mountain, Caleb? I'm going to climb it. He asked for a mountain. Okay. Listen, if you're going to ask God for something, ask for big. Did you know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think? You know, if you own your own business, why don't you ask the Lord, say, let's double my business next year by 20% or 30% or 40%, whatever percentage you want, right? If you believe you're blessed, say, I'm blessed. What does being blessed mean? If it doesn't mean increase, then why are we blessed? I'm going to start doing that with the church. We got some mountains in Palmyra, right? Give me this mountain. There's other properties that we need to own as a church. Notice verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. When did the Lord speak that? How many years ago? 40 years ago. As far as Caleb was concerned, he didn't care if it was 40, 30, 10. As far as he can, if God spoke it, he's going to have it. It doesn't matter how long the time was not an issue. The issue was God spoke it, and I believe it. That was the issue. Whatever God says, I'm going to have, and I don't care how long it takes. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have it. Say, I'm going to have it. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there. Not only does he ask for a mountain, he asks for a mountain where the giants were. And that the cities were great and fenced, if so be the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Can you see this? He doesn't care if they're giants, plural. If there's giants on my mountain, the Lord's going to be with me and I'm going to drive them out. What giants are holding your possessions? What giant is holding your healing? What giant is holding you from breakthrough? What giant is keeping you where you know that you're not supposed to be, but you got to break free? You need the Lord's strength. You need knowledge of God, and you'll gain strength. Whew. My goodness. This is good stuff. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him. Joshua just said, well, you've already got the strength. I give you the blessing. What's Joshua going to say? I don't think this is a good idea. No, he blessed him. And gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb. He got his inheritance 40 years after it was spoken to him. 40 years, he had to walk with a bunch of whiny babies. 40 years, he had to put up with all these negative people for 40 years. But for 40 years, God's strength was working in him. For 40 years, God's strength was sustaining him. For 40 years, God's strength was keeping him. Till he got his mountain. Listen, God will keep you as strong as you need to be until you get what's yours. Whew. And the name of Hebron, verse 15, was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. The Anakims were the giants. And the land had rest from war. You may have to go through some wars to get what's yours, but you keep fighting. You keep standing. You keep believing. You keep trusting. You keep walking with God. You keep worshiping God. You keep serving God. You keep following God. Amen. More so in today, in the days we're living in. If there was ever a time to draw closer to God, it is now. I mean, we got to be prepared for war. Spiritual war. Okay? How many know the story of David? All right? David faced a giant who was much bigger than him, much stronger than him, and better trained for war than he was. David comes on the scene. He's bringing bread and cheese for his brothers. His father sent them. And David gets on the scene, and David hears the giant saying, he's defying the God of Israel. Okay? Did you notice David did not have a prayer meeting when he heard Goliath talking? He didn't say to the soldiers, guys, we better pray, because this giant is really saying some stuff. No. Here's the thing. David walked in God's strength. David carried God's strength. David abided in God's strength, and God's strength abided in him. So he wasn't going there to face a giant, but a giant was there, and he didn't have a prayer meeting. He took action. Guys, we better pray. This giant's talking stuff. No. He was ready. Even if he was delivering bread and cheese, he was ready. He was walking in God's strength. He knew some things about God. He knew that God gave him strength over a bear. God gave him strength over a lion. He said this giant's going to be the same thing. He had some knowledge of God. He got to know God while he was watching over sheep. He was writing the Psalms and praising God. He got really intimate with God. And when you're walking with God, his strength is always there. You don't have to drum it up. You don't have to work it up. It's there. You just have to act on it. You just have to believe it. And what happened? He whooped that giant. No one else in the entire army was willing to face Goliath. It took a teenage shepherd boy, pizza delivery boy. Is this helping someone? I'm not just saying these things just to say things. I believe that strength is coming to you. I believe that right now you're being strengthened. Because you're waiting on God. Waiting on God does not mean do nothing. You're not doing nothing right now. You're hearing the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, strength flows freely. How about Nehemiah? Did you know that Nehemiah said throughout his story that he had hands to work and fight for what was right? He and his team built the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, shortest guy in the Bible. Oh no, Bildad the Shuhite, he beat him in height. Look at Nehemiah 1, verse 10. This is powerful. He just got done praying. He just got done talking to God. He just got done receiving strength. And verse 10 says, "Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand." He knew some things about God. All right? Go to chapter 2 and verse 18. People were coming against him. And verse 18 says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words, and that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." And Nehemiah put together a team that in 52 days, that's a month and a half, almost 2 months. In 52 days, they had rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem with a cement spreader in one hand and a spear in the other hand. You ever work like that, Nelson? You ever have to have a hammer and a sword strapped to your side? Can you imagine building a wall with a weapon on one side and a tool on the other side? Some people would say, "Oh no, that's too hard. I can't multitask." Right? But Nehemiah did. Everybody did. And in 52 days. Why? They had hands that were strengthened. Who strengthened those hands? Who sustained their hands? The enemy could not even come against them. They tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. Every time the enemy tried to come against Nehemiah, they failed. They sent Nehemiah letters. They tried to get him to come. He wouldn't respond. He just kept doing his work, doing his work, doing his work. Some of you, you've let the devil distract you from what you're supposed to be doing. And that's why the work isn't getting done. Because you're yielding to the enemy's lies. When he tells you you can't, or when he tells you you'll never recover, or when he tells you you're no good. Lie, lie, lie. What does God say? "Wait on me and I'll renew your strength. I'll strengthen you. I'm the strength of your life. Be strong in me and be strong in my spirit." Let's go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Man, this is still the introduction. I didn't even get to the good stuff yet. Amen. I was just seeing if someone was awake. Yeah, come on. That's how you got to think. Judges chapter 6. Let's go down to verse 11. The Midianites had invaded Israel. They were innumerable. Couldn't count them. Couldn't count how many soldiers they had. They had too many. And verse 11 says, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Because everything that they saw, they would steal or destroy, just like the enemy. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, who? Mighty man of valor." Did Gideon feel like a mighty man? No. He He had some self-esteem problems. He was the smallest of his family. He was from the smallest clan. He didn't think God could use him for anything great. I don't have much to offer God. You'll never be able to use me. Lie, lie, lie. If God can use a two-piece fish dinner, do you think he can use you? Come on. I mean, you're a whole lot more valuable than a two-piece fish dinner. I can't even say it. God appears to him and calls him. What do you think happened when God said, "You're a mighty man of valor"? Might went into him. Power went into him. Strength went into him. And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" It's not because the Lord departed, it's because they sinned. So what did Gideon do? He became the mighty man that God spoke to him. He was. When God spoke to him, he wasn't, but he became what God said. Can you hear me? Are you ready to become what God said? If God says you're healed, then you're healed. If God says you're free, then you're free. If God says sin is broken, then sin is broken. If God says you're forgiven, then you're forgiven. Become what God said you are. How do you do it? You believe it. So God had to tweak Gideon's army. You got too many men, Gideon. You can't rely on your own strength. You need my strength. Okay, he got it down to 10,000 men. All right? That's a pretty good army. Gideon, you got too many. They passed the test. They got down to 300. Everybody say 300. 300 against hundreds of thousands. How can that happen? With God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. So Gideon faced an innumerable army with 300 men. Why? Because God's strength was working in him. Did you know when Gideon blew a trumpet, people would gather? There was a lot of force when he blew the trumpet. And so he divided his men, 100, 100, 100. And how did they win? They cracked open vases and blew a trumpet. And they defeated an innumerable army. Gideon was a crackpot for Jesus. Well, they cracked their pots. There was a light on the inside. And he said, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." What happened? The enemy started killing themselves. See, when God's strength, when you gain God's strength from knowing some things about God, it doesn't matter who's against you. It matters who's for you. It's not about who's against you, it's about who's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? What's the answer? No one, nothing, no how, no way. The strength that comes from God in Isaiah 40, it was directly related to the statements that were made about God, his character, his nature, who he is. That's what caused strength to come. That's what brings strength when you're weak. You know what the Bible says? Let the weak say what? Isn't that amazing? That when you're weak, you're not supposed to say you're weak. You're supposed to say you're strong, but a lot of times we miss it. And we say we're weak because we're weak. I'm weak, so I'm going to say I'm weak. No. When you're weak, you say I'm strong. Why? Because you're a prime candidate for God's strength to take over. Now, I know some of you came here tonight weak, but you're going to leave strong. You came in here overwhelmed, but you're going to leave overcoming. You came in here like things are going, but you're going to leave like things going over. Because God is going to give power to the faint. He is going to increase your strength to them that have no might. And God is going to come and pour out His goodness on you in a greater way than you can even ever imagine. But you got to believe. It's not about who lays hands on you. It's about what you believe. Laying hands is just a point of contact. I could not heal a fly with a headache, but the Lord can do mighty things. And when we get to it in the New Testament, He actually gives us a prayer that we can pray that we would be strengthened with might in our inner man by the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to be strengthened in the inner man tonight. You're here because you need strength. And guess what? You're not going to leave disappointed. God's power is going to come into you. I believe that with all my heart. Now, if you need strength tonight for whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is that's happening in your life, come up right now. And I want you to come up ready to receive. Oh, Father, we give You thanks and praise. That level of strength is going to increase in every person in the name of Jesus. And Lord, there's going to be a divine impartation of supernatural strength. Because standing before me are superheroes. And every superhero needs super strength. Father, right now we're going to start down here at this end. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you ready to receive strength? It is yours in Jesus' name. Be strong in Jesus' name. Be strong all day long. Father, right now.